gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, it is a big show today. If only I didn't have a man in my bed and was so discombobulated. I am
what?
A man
second
in
day
one of your beds.
One of them. A select comfort.
From Sleep Train.
From Sleep Train in San Francisco.
You're taking to a better night's sleep.
Exactly. All right, yeah, David Benders. Listen, I am exhausted. I need some advice on how you have a job and be a wife. It is exhausting. I've only been married to David for like a day, and I'm exhausted. I'm cooking.
You're cooking?
I've barely had time to prepare the fart jokes today. I did ask him. I made turkey meatballs and spaghetti last night. I'm making beef skewers tonight. I have a Cornish game hens planned for the next night.
Cornish game hens?
Here's something I learned about myself. I turn all girly around men. I turn all girly and caretakey. So I don't even... Oh, Dr. Sanjay Gupta is coming up in a couple of minutes from Japan.
Yes.
Well, I should have prepared him for that.
Holy
rather than
crap.
Making Cornish game hens for David Bender.
Who makes Cornish game hens anymore?
I do.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was like a fancy, you know, old-timey restaurant
No,
thing.
I make it. It's like a S&M porn show. I make them on the rotisserie. They just flop around. It's crazy. All right. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Ustream.tv/StephanieMiller. Hello there.
Hi there.
You can see us. Also, it's a big, big day for us. It's a magical day. The Progressive Talk format is back in WHJX 105.7 FM in Jacksonville, Florida.
Yes.
And we also welcome 1490 in Jonesboro, Arkansas today. Look at us. We're spreading like a bad rash across the United States. All right. I was mentioning I was watching Meet the Press in bed with David Bender this weekend. And Rich writes, why Steph couldn't remember if Mitch Daniels was on Meet the Press. She was on a bender. I actually wasn't on him.
That's kind of funny.
I was next to him.
Did you cuddle with him?
Yes, I was on an all weekend bender.
Wow.
All right, so we have Dr. Sanjay Gupta literally in a couple of minutes,
right,
live from Japan. We have the rocking congresswoman from Illinois, Representative Jan Schakowsky, Christine Romans
of CNN.
Of CNN, Your Money, Charlie Pierce of the Boston Globe, Representative Jackie Speier, and actor and activist George Takei on what he's doing to help the folks in Japan. That's a big show.
I'm going to be interested to talk to Christine about how...
I'm a housewife now. I'm not really prepared to host this.
I'm going to be interested to talk to Christine about how the earthquake is going to be affecting the economy here in the United States, because Japan is the third largest economy. And
don't go all Larry Kudlow on us.
Well, no. I mean,
I
know. But, you know.
Yeah, Larry Kudlow got in a little bit of trouble. That's in Right Wing World later.
Yes, he did. But
I'm not sure how you say that and misspeak. He said the human toll will be a lot worse than the economic toll, and for that we can be thankful.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
And he's trying to explain how he didn't mean that like that sounded.
Right. Mm-hmm. We're going to be covering human toll today, too.
Yeah. I mean, we have... how many people have gotten fired already over comments about Japan? Haley Barbour's press secretary.
Gilbert Gottfried.
Oh, dear. Yeah. Tragedy plus...
Time.
Time.
And
time
not enough
comedy.
Time
no.
has passed.
No. Oh, here's one hopeful thing. Yesterday, I did a story about a woman who went to court with a tiny marmoset in her bra.
Yes. I remember that.
Here's why this is hopeful for America, because you know how everybody always says we don't make anything here anymore?
Mm-hmm.
What did we learn yesterday?
They make marmoset clothing in West Virginia.
That's right. And Catherine was kind enough to find a picture of it. Here it is. See, look. Said marmoset with pink and white dress and little itty-bitty diapers. There it is. There's the marmoset. It's on cuteoverload.files. That's a website that has cute animals.
Oh.
Yes.
Do you go there?
I am now.
You have a thing for cute animals.
I am
so.
Now. Because she explained in court that she gets the clothes made for the tiny marmoset in West Virginia. And so I was like, well, we do make something here. We make tiny marmoset clothes.
Who knew there was a cottage industry for marmoset clothing in
you
West Virginia?
You can't buy them regular monkey clothes. They're the size of your palm. And if you want a little bitty red and white dress for your tiny marmoset, where do you go? West Virginia.
West Virginia, of
okay.
course.
All right.
I always thought a marmoset was something like a ferret or something. I didn't know it was a little monkey.
Yes, indeed. It is a little tiny monkey.
Huh. That one can...
carry in one's bra.
Sure.
That's how small it is.
Hmm.
All right. The president talking about the U.S. supporting the people of Japan.
I want to reiterate
America's support for the people of Japan. And I've said directly to the Prime Minister of Japan, Prime Minister Kan, that the United States will continue to offer any assistance we can as Japan recovers from multiple disasters.
Yeah, this is, wow. Well, you know, we're going to talk to Dr. Gupta about this in just a moment. But, I mean, obviously a lot of concern, you know, not just for the people of Japan, even here, of radiation. It's, you know, something that we haven't dealt with on this scale in a long time. He is here in Akita, Japan. Dr. Sanjay Gupta joins us live. Hello, doctor.
Hey, how are you, Stephanie?
You must be jet lagged. I am fine. So you are in Akita, Japan right now, correct?
That's right. You know, we've been here for several days now. We were in Sendai earlier, which is right along the northeastern coast, and we've come a little further north and a little bit west from there. That's where Akita is, sort of along the Sea of Japan.
Doctor, this must be a, you know, obvious question, but I mean, it really is one of those things where I can't imagine what it is like to be there live. I know one Japanese person interviewed said it literally looks like a computer game, like you can't believe it's real, this level of destruction.
Yeah, I mean, it is, I've seen natural disasters before, and I've seen a tsunami, you know, back in South Asia in 2004. The sheer impact, the sheer force of a tsunami wave and what it does to cars and buildings, and you just have these unbelievable amalgamations of things, cars inside of houses and all sorts of things that just don't belong as a result of, you know, the force of this water just smashing everything.
Doctor, I know that, you know, there's obviously been a lot of concern about, you know, it seems like it's a disaster after disaster, correct? I mean, the earthquake and then the tsunami and then, you know, obviously I know like a lot of bodies washed up, you know, I read just yesterday in one spot, now radiation. I mean, what are the immediate health concerns? Is it more the radiation or what? Because obviously we've seen this happen in other places where there's, you know, one disaster causes the next one, correct?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think that still the biggest concern still has to do with the aftermath of the tsunami. I mean, people don't realize that, you know, there's still search and rescue missions going on. There are people who are still stranded, been marooned as a result of all this water. And it's freezing cold, Stephanie. I don't know if people realize that. It is snowing in many places, including where we are. So it's terrible conditions in which to be stranded. So I think that's still the biggest concern. A lot of the people who have been displaced have found their ways to evacuation centers. And Japan, they do a very good job here of being coordinated, but you know, they still need basic necessities. Supermarkets have run out of supplies. Even getting bottles of water has become challenging. And now there's a lot of reliance on the goodwill of people in Japan and around the world. You know, the USS George Washington is here bringing supplies. This radiation concern is it's causing a lot of anxiety. I will tell you that. Everyone's talking about it. There was spikes in the level of radiation around one of the nuclear reactors. Just to give you a little bit of context, the number was 400 millisieverts. That doesn't mean anything to most people, but it's way out of norm for, you know, what radiation level should be. Having said that, it's still, you know, by the time that radiation actually, you know, some of it decays, some of it disperses, by the time it would affect any, you know, humans outside of the evacuation zones around these plants, the numbers are probably going to be very small and probably not much different than, for example, getting a chest X-ray or taking a transcontinental flight, as things stand now.
Well, that's, Doctor, obviously you've heard, I mean, that's was going to be my next question. There's obviously a lot of fear even here about radiation because, you know, it's not understood. I know that Japan ordered 140,000 people, right, to seal themselves indoors, and I know that about 160 people tested positive for some radiation near Daiichi, am I saying that right? The Daiichi plant.
Yeah. Right.
I know even some American crew members, right, on the Reagan ship and other, they had to be, I mean, for those of us lay people, it's amazing that you go, really, just soap and water? That's all, I mean, apparently they had to be, you know, decontaminated, right?
That's right. I mean, you know, and it is, because I think as much as we are fearful of the known, you know, impact of radiation, there's almost more fear of the unknown. This isn't something you can see, you can smell, you can taste. I mean, and so I think that makes it, you know, causes a lot of anxiety. But I think, you know, the facts are important here, the context. And when I say as things stand now, what I mean is that, you know, we keep getting dribbles of information about what exactly is happening at these reactors. If the levels don't go up again, everyone that we're talking to, the experts on the ground, say there's probably not much of a chance of having any long-term significant impact on human health. The people who've had, you know, higher levels of radiation, may they get nauseated, may they have some vomiting, perhaps. But it takes a lot of radiation to even do that, and the levels haven't reached that high. But they got to get this under control. They got to make sure that these levels don't spike and that radiation doesn't, you know, get further out into these evacuation zones.
Well, I've heard, you know, one nuclear expert explain why this is not like Chernobyl. They were saying that, you know, at Chernobyl you had no containment structure. When it blew, everything just went straight into the atmosphere. Because I have to tell you, you know, we are a little self-involved in L.A., but I was at a dinner party Saturday night, and that's what most people were talking about. And U.S. officials, of course, yesterday said there's little probability of it, you know, going across the Pacific Ocean to affect, you know, Hawaii or the U.S. Mainland. Do you think that's so?
I think so. I mean, you know, just looking at the natural pattern of this sort of radiation, it does, even by the time it leaves the plant, leaves outside the gates, this gamma radiation starts to decay. So you really get a significant drop-off, and then just being dispersed through the air over great distances is going to add to that sort of, you know, lowering of the levels. So, I don't think anyone can say with absolute certainty right now, but I think that the chance of, you know, people in the United States, for example, the West Coast being affected by this is pretty minimal, as long as the radiation levels don't, you know, spike up again, or if there isn't some sort of emergency. But, you know, what you said about the containment vessel is very important. I mean, obviously this is a great tragedy, but one thing we have to note is the Japanese have, you know, they do this. They have these nuclear facilities. They create containment structures around them. They have, you know, procedures in place to try and contain any extraneous radiation. Obviously, for lots of different reasons, it didn't work perfectly, starting with the cooling mechanisms being taken out by the tsunami. But you know, I you know, trying to be not overly optimistic or pessimistic here, just realistic after talking to many experts, I think the chance of, you know, you and California having to be concerned about this is pretty remote.
Well, yeah, by the way, I don't mean to make it about me. I have to say, I remember this after 9/11, as, you know, Hollywood kind of went insane, and I'm thinking, you know, I don't think the set of Punky Brewster is the next place. Hollywood tends to make it about them, but no, I mean, I think that there's just, we were saying, I think it was Deepak Chopra that was talking about just, you know, we're such a wired world that I think, you know, and we're so used to reality TV, the fact that we're watching real reality and it is so horrific and we're watching it in real time has this tragedy, I mean, I just think has affected us differently, don't you?
I do, and I think some of that is what you're saying. I mean, the specter of Chernobyl is, even though it was over, you know, 25 years ago, is still in people's minds. And I think that this is a, you know, despite the fact that nuclear energy has been around for some time, this is still a large unknown to people. It's not to underplay the potential consequences. I mean, we know there can be, you know, tragedies. We've seen them before in history. But I think right now you have to take the facts as they are. You know, there have been elevated levels, but they've been relatively mild as compared to other tragedies. And, you know, the idea that people would get sick from this level of radiation, again, seems pretty minimal. The only thing I wish is that there had been a little bit more information forthcoming. I think that in the beginning it was almost like, look, there's absolutely no problem here, nothing to look at, move on. And then, you know, you
right.
Get
well,
more
there's
and there's of information.
And there's a natural, you know, I think inclination, Doctor, when people are scared to question whether the authorities are really telling you the truth.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, I think when it comes to human health, and particularly your own health, I think, you know, asking questions and being appropriately skeptical is well within people's rights. I mean, when the Prime Minister's office comes out today, this morning, while we're on live television, and says, okay, the radiation levels at this point are high enough to potentially affect human health, that was a distinct change in tone, something we hadn't heard for 4 days.
Yeah. Yep.
So why it all of a sudden came out like that, I think, was a little bit of a shock to a lot of people.
Well, it's, you know, our thoughts and prayers obviously go out to everyone in Japan, and I appreciate you taking time for us. I know it's such a, you know, just a incredible. I think it's just the layers of, you know, crises on top of each other that is just so horrifying. And you know, we thank you for giving us your perspective. You're going to be on CNN tonight, 9 o'clock Eastern time on AC360 with Anderson live from Japan. Correct.
We will be here and throughout the day, and you know, keep the people here in your thoughts.
Yeah, absolutely. Dr. Sanjay Gupta, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Stephanie.
All right, there he goes. Wow. Dr. Sanjay Gupta. Yikes. All right. And Soledad O'Brien will also be on.
Exactly.
They are all reporting live from Japan tonight. So, all right, I have a real life carbonite story involving my new husband, David Bender. We'd only been married a day, and he did that annoying thing where he was out somewhere, and he called me to go look for something in the house.
Oh.
And what was it?
What?
His laptop. He was in a panic. He was in a virtual white-knuckle panic because he was out at a meeting, and he needed to show somebody something, and he thought it was stolen.
Oh, dear.
From his car. He's like, oh, my God, can you see if it's in the house? And it wasn't in the house, and then he panicked, and then it was on his dashboard. Which, so, maybe David Bender knew glasses. But in the meantime, I said, do you have carbonite? And he said no.
Computer,
he needs
no.
To get it.
Guess what David Bender has now?
Computer says yeah.
He has carbonite.
Really?
I said to it now. Because it was just the peace of mind. He was in a panic.
Yeah.
Because, and that's exactly why you need to get carbonite. Carbonite.com.
And also, you know, it backs up your files to their servers, and so if you leave your laptop somewhere, you can get that file on your smartphone with the free Carbonite app.
It automatically backs up the files on your PC or Mac whenever you are connected to the Internet. If a computer disaster happens, you easily get your files back with just a few clicks. Here's the other story, too.
Uh-oh.
He was worried about security.
Yeah.
And I said, my attorney friend just got Carbonite yesterday, and he had to check with the Bar Association if it was okay. Because, you know, attorney-client privilege,
right.
And they said, yes, it is secure. Your file, nobody's nosing through your files.
Sweet.
All right, go to carbonite.com now. Use my offer code Stephanie for this special offer. 15-day free trial plus 2 months free with your subscription. Carbonite.com. Use the offer code Stephanie. 22 minutes after the hour. Big, big show. My goodness. We're going to, I mean, Representative Jan Schakowsky coming up in just a few minutes. We got a lot going on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
All right. Yeah, it's another edition of Our Listeners Know the Weirdest Stuff.
Yeah.
There is an entire website devoted to marmoset moms.
Yeah. It's called marmosetmom.com.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. For all your marmoset needs.
You can buy infant clothes, diapers.
Sure.
There. You can post pictures of you and your marmoset child.
Sure. Boy, howdy. Okay.
It's a thing.
That's me next because I'm in my Norma Desmond years.
Yes.
That's what David Bender originally came as for the monkey funeral. Okay, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll-free from anywhere. We have what else were we just going to, first of all, we have a real physicist on the line.
Yes.
We're going to get that out of the way before Jim gets here. Just with some of, because Jim has some of his own science about earthquake machines and stuff that I'm just saying, yesterday we were just speculating.
Are you mocking the staff?
No! Joshua in Maine, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, Steph. How's it going?
Good. Go ahead.
Well, I actually tried to call probably a week and a half ago when you guys were talking about how you never took physics in high school.
Right. I did not.
And, a lot of people don't. My cell phone died waiting in the queue, and I was actually going to proposition if I could be the official physicist of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Absolutely.
Fantastic.
You have about 20 seconds for your science now. Go ahead.
Okay.
Sorry.
I just really wanted to say that I was glad that you had Dr. Gupta on there because it's so much nicer to see or listen to somebody who's being rational about how dangerous this nuclear situation is, because I've been saying it since the day it happened. This is going to be, unless something goes terribly, terribly wrong further, it's not going to be any worse than probably getting an X-ray.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good to know. All right, Doc. Thank you. Appreciate it. 29 minutes after the hour, Jan Schakowsky has some thoughts about Wisconsin and more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I really need you to be on your game, you know. A lot of our fans have gone through rehab, so they're much more critical.
By the way, Chris, you and I both lost the betting pool. It was not Pat Robertson that first brought God into the whole earthquake tsunami. It was Glenn Beck.
Yeah.
Which will be coming up in the right-wing world.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
Pat Robertson's waiting for today.
He's normally God's reliable little weatherman,
yeah.
But no, we lost that betting pool.
Yes.
All right. Oh, my husband at home, David Bender, has emailed about Dr. Sanjay Gupta. Great get. Ironically, you just help other people breathe more easily. Hubby at home. And I wrote him back and said, hi, honey, can you put the dishes in the dishwasher? Seriously. I'm serious, David. Okay. 1-800-STEPH. I cooked.
Okay.
Getting used to this whole new marriage thing. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number.
It really is a gay marriage, isn't it?
That's a real gay marriage.
Yes. He's gay. You're gay.
Yes, exactly. It's working great. 1-800. This is what God intended. All right. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Oh, one of our very personal favorites, the rockin' congresswoman from the great state of Illinois. Good morning, Congresswoman Jan Schakowsky.
Good morning to you.
Good morning. Now, first of all, before we get to, there's so much going on, obviously, in Wisconsin and elsewhere. But let's talk about Japan. I was surprised that Joe Lieberman was the first one to say we ought to take a pause about nuclear energy. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I heard some defender of nuclear power saying, well, mining coal is dangerous, drilling can be dangerous. We're talking here about hundreds of thousands of people and that are at risk. And, you know, the wind changes and it could go over Tokyo, who knows what. And so, obviously, I think we need to take a closer look. These plants, in fact, were safer than those at Chernobyl and I think at Three Mile Island, too. But earthquakes, at least we ought not to be building them on faults, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what we were talking yesterday, obviously, out here in California about San Onofre, which is on a fault line. And so, you know, the one thing, we just had Dr. Gupta on. He did say, you know, there can be panic in any situation like this and people can go too far that it's not, you know, obviously they're assuring us that this is not going to be as bad as we're assuming. But I think just watching all of this on TV, it literally is like a horror film.
Yeah. So taking another look, we don't have to panic about it. I think it makes total sense. If we want to proceed with nuclear, then we have to take all, you know, location and all kinds of construction into consideration.
Yeah. Congresswoman, I know you've been as concerned about what just happened in Wisconsin and elsewhere as we have been. You put out a statement saying Governor Walker made one thing perfectly clear last night. His party's goal has absolutely nothing to do with the Wisconsin budget and everything to do with union busting. If Governor Walker truly cared about the budget, he wouldn't have added millions to the Wisconsin deficit with tax breaks for the wealthy just a few short months after he was elected. What is your take on what's going to happen next? Has he awakened, as some say, a sleeping giant?
Absolutely. I think this is a game changer, what is going on in Wisconsin and across the country. 22 states are looking at doing the same thing that Governor Walker did. I think that this is igniting not just organized labor, not just progressives, but people who are understanding that this is a war on the middle class, that it's not just about organized labor. It's saying that we don't respect workers, we don't think that their work is valuable, that we're going to balance our budgets on the back of middle class people and give tax breaks to the wealthy. I think that this is, you know, when I used to talk about middle class versus the wealthy in this country, oh, I'd be accused of class warfare. Well, now people understand there really is a class warfare that's been going on. Some people have been sacrificing, and other people raking it in hand over fist.
Congresswoman, I have to tell you, a lot of our listeners in Wisconsin were saying it was not just progressives there. I mean, conservatives, anybody, I think, that really whose basic sense of fairness is offended by this, that, you know, we're taking this out on the backs of workers that had absolutely nothing to do with causing this.
That's right.
And you know, you're right. Here, the headline I'm looking at this morning, Michigan's Republican governor slashes corporate tax rate by 86%, hikes taxes for the working poor. I mean, I think there is just a basic sense of fairness here that, you know, certainly the polls are showing people understand.
You know, when 64% say public employees should have the right to collective bargaining for wages, I think, Stephanie, that if that poll had been taken 2 months ago, that the numbers would have been perhaps even the opposite. It's now that people have seen the faces of the teachers, of the people who go to work every day to make the government run in there, that the firefighters and the police, who though they were excluded from the cuts, stood in solidarity with these other public employees. I think now people are getting it, that, you know, am I next? Is this about slashing the wages of all people who work for a living, had nothing, as you said, to do with causing these budget deficits?
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's what, you know, as you say in your statement, the Republicans' incredible overreach is not limited to Wisconsin. It's playing itself out in state houses all across the country and also in Washington. I think it's just misplaced priorities, right?
Yes,
I
mean, so we have to make the choices clear. Do you really think we should cut corporate taxes over, you know, giving fair wages to working people? You know, should we even
subsidize? Should we subsidize oil companies and take away Pell grants? I mean, right? You can go right down the list, right?
Yeah, dead billionaires or cancer research. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Well, I mean, how is this going to play out in Washington, do you think? Because I think you're absolutely right. We're seeing sort of the same showdown everywhere.
You know, my concern is that here in Washington, we live in kind of a bubble, and I'm afraid that we're playing by old rules and that people aren't acknowledging what's going out there in the real world. And so while I think we're making a good case about H.R. 1, which is the budget slashing bill that the House Republicans passed, I am a bit worried that there are those even in the Democratic Party who are willing to make compromises on Social Security or Medicare, another middle-class program that keeps the elderly out of poverty and is wildly popular. You know, they got to read the polls and take the temp of the people out there. The tide is turning here, thanks to ordinary folks who didn't ask us permission. They just did it, and I love it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, it really was such a beautiful thing to watch in Wisconsin, the solidarity and the numbers of people and the you know, the peacefulness of it. And yet, I mean, I got to tell you, I mean, I think there's a judge race coming up, correct, in like less than 2 weeks, I think.
Yes.
I think we may have Judge Kloppenheim, right?
Yeah.
You know, this could turn around more quickly than we think. Do you know what
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly.
Because I think what Walker did clearly was illegal. So we'll see. And then I think, you know, these recalls for the Republicans are in full swing. So I think you're right, is people are really not standing for this.
You know, I was asking my colleague, Tammy Baldwin, who's from Wisconsin,
right.
Do people understand that this race for the Supreme Court is really kind of a test case now? You know, it seems sort of obscure. Do voters really know it?
Right.
But people in Wisconsin are paying attention. She said everybody is aware of that, that right now the balance of the Supreme Court by one justice is held by the Republicans, that this could change that. And so people are ready to give that a test.
And
they are halfway to collecting all the petitions they need, the signatures they need
right.
for the recalls. I think they don't get it. They may have won the battle, but I think they're losing the war.
Yep. Congresswoman, who is the judge that's running that obviously, I mean, he's gone on record as saying, yes, he would back the governors, which, I mean, again, judges aren't supposed to say that, are they? I mean,
no,
you know, they can't say how I'm going to vote, but I mean, obviously, this race seems pretty clear.
Yeah, I wish I knew. I don't know, but he's got an R after his name. That I do
know. David Bender will know. He's at home in my house dress. what's her name that we're having on?
I think he's putting stuff in the dishwasher.
The person you should vote for, Kloppen, Joanne Kloppen something.
I'll find out during the break.
Yes, we'll figure it out. Sorry. It's you know, I've been up all night cooking and cleaning. Congresswoman, you're married. How do you do it?
Well,
I've only been married a day.
I like your dishwasher rule. This is very good. I'm going to impose it in my household.
Congresswoman,
the dogs won't do it, so.
Right.
Congresswoman Jan Schakowsky of the great state of Illinois, thanks so much, as always.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay,
Joanne Kloppenberg.
Thank you.
Kloppenheim?
Thank you. Did my fake husband say that?
No, Rebecca did, because she's the one tracking her down.
Okay.
Thank you, Bex.
All right. Yeah, we're one of the only, gay Hollywood marriages. Like, we just come right out and say, yes, we're both bearding for each other. We're both gay. And that's why we're married.
So is this the kind of gay marriage where you're going to walk...
At least we admit it.
Is this the kind of gay marriage where you're going to walk them down the red carpet, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
Because that's happened before, where someone beards down the red carpet.
All right.
What?
I've been there before.
I know
you
have.
1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Judge Prosser, that's his name. He has to go. Christina and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, I was just calling to let you know we need to get Judge Prosser off the bench. It's Prosser.
Yes, he's the one.
There.
Right.
He's a tool. We don't need him. You know, we need, of course, forward change, things that'll, you know, help the people.
Yeah. Kloppenberg, that's her name, correct?
Yep, you
yes.
got it. You
All
got
right.
it.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, honey. Listen, I don't know how you... I don't understand how people are, you know, especially people who are raising kids. How do you retain any facts in your head, for God's sakes? I've only been taking care of David Bender for a day, and my brain is mush.
That's why mothers are superhuman.
Exactly.
How did your mother take care of you?
I don't know. She clearly didn't.
You were probably
look what happened to me.
A spazzy little child who wouldn't shut up.
And I've grown up to get paid for it.
There you go.
It didn't work out badly, did it?
No.
Kathy in Rockford, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Oh, good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
I just wanted to talk about the term shared sacrifice that we're hearing so much about lately.
Yeah.
And I just want to mention...
Oh, like in Michigan, it means corporations get their taxes cut 86% and then the working poor get their taxes raised. Yeah.
Right. Well, it comes from Latin, you know, and it means to make holy. You know, sacred sacrifice to make holy. And I think that the imposition of wage cuts on working class families, well, there's just nothing holy about that, while nothing is asked of the wealthy.
That's right.
And I think that this is clear injustice, and that is why the people in Wisconsin were chanting shame, shame, shame.
Yep, that's absolutely right. Thank you, Kathy. Yeah, they do get it. Ha ha, Governor Winker.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, David has written back. I said, hi, honey, can you put the dishes in the dishwasher? Love you, wifey. He wrote back, and now it begins. Love, Hazel. He's Hazel the housewife this morning.
Yeah.
Oh,
only,
mama's
only,
not working. All right. 46.
Only people in a certain age group would get that reference.
Shut up.
What?
46.
It was a black and white show.
I get it.
All right.
We don't need you. We're in our own little world. 46.
You should just open up a chat with him so you can just chat instead of, you know, emailing back and forth. It's a lot easier, you know.
See, I can't have a love life and work. It just doesn't work. 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is a disgusting display.
Boy, you can say that again.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. My dirty little secret. Don't tell anyone, or you'll be just another regret.
My dirty little secret. Who has to know? Oh, modern woman. Multitasking. I do what I'm doing right now. I'm trying to book Valerie Plame on the show, my good friend in Santa Fe. Well, there's a giant nuclear thing in the news, for God's sakes.
And she's kind of a nuclear expert.
And juggle my home life with my husband, David Bender. We haven't technically gotten married yet, but, you know.
Has he put the dishes in the dishwasher yet?
I don't know. He hasn't written me. Let me know. 1-800-STEPH-12,
the phone
number.
Is that the sort of thing someone writes an email about? Yeah, I put the dishes
in. I do.
Do you? Really?
All right.
You waste bits and bites on that?
It's a very happy home life. I couldn't find my dogs last night, and then I went down in the office, and I'm like, oh, you're down here with Daddy. Oh.
Oh, you call him Daddy now.
Well, also, he had food with him, so I think that was the other, you know, the thing that was happening there.
All right. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, by the way, you said you picture David Bender as the only one of the last American male to wear actual pajamas
to bed. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I've been here's the good thing I found about being married to a gay man. I don't have to bother with the lingerie and pumps. I can just wear my flannels, which I
love. You have never worn lingerie and pumps in your life.
No, that's what I'm saying, and I don't care if I started modeling my sushi pajamas, and now I've moved into my peace symbol pajamas.
Please,
and David enjoys them.
Please describe your sushi pajamas.
They're green pajamas with pieces of the sushi on them. Not actual sushi, obviously.
Where does one find sushi pajamas?
You did store here.
Pajamagram.com?
No. Yes! No, that's not why I got them at a pajama place here in Larchmont. Anyway, let's move on. There's a lot to get to. We have Christine Romans of CNN's Your Money coming up.
Yeah, and the Dow is actually dropping precipitously, so that's another thing we'll ask her about.
We will ask her about that. Tina in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tina. Hello, Tina.
Aw.
Tina, I can hear you breathing. Oh, there you are. Go
Sorry
ahead.
About that.
Okay.
I wanted to say I am so angry. I heard on the news that Senator Fitzgerald is saying that the Senate Democrats can't participate in committees now because they were gone, and now then they're in contempt. And
yeah, that's not too petty. Yeah.
It's like, what about the democratic process?
Yeah.
I mean, this is so crazy.
Yeah, he's the one that said they took a 3-week paid vacation. Yeah, because that's what they were doing.
Erfenbach is my senator, and I can tell you he was doing emails. He was doing stuff the whole time.
Yeah.
You know, this is crazy.
No, they are heroes, the Fab 14, and we will. I know they're going to continue the fight. All right. Rachel and Madison on this. This race is very, very important in Wisconsin.
Joanne Kloppenburg.
The judgeship. Yeah. Hello, Rachel.
Hey, thanks. You guys are making it easier to wake up in Wisconsin every morning, and we appreciate that.
You're welcome.
I want people to understand how big this is for Kloppenburg. She's running a really low-budget campaign against some big money, and the legal challenges that are in front of the courts here in Dane County are likely going to end up at the state Supreme Court level, where we hope that she will be in lieu of David Prosser.
Yeah, she will be. We're having her on the show. We're on vacation next week, but she will be on the show the week after that, right before the election.
Excellent. Well, we've got to get her, the vote out for her so that when this goes to that level, we can really fight back. And she's up against some huge money. So thank you guys so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
We appreciate it.
You're welcome. Solidarity. Sue in Rockville, Maryland. Let's touch back on the tragedy in Japan. Hello, Sue.
Hey, I'm sorry. Good morning.
Oh, that's all right.
Listen, I don't want people to panic either, but I have a very dear friend who had a small tumor and elected to get very minor radiation therapy. And he got radiation poisoning, and he had just a slight overdose of radiation. The symptoms did not show for a year. He got fired from his job. He had affected his facial nerves. He is permanently disfigured in his face. He's had two surgeries, and his life, the way he knew it, and he was a very successful professional. Now he's home.
Dr. Gupta was saying, I think one of the things, Sue, that's scary is you can't taste it, smell it, feel it. So, of course, there's that added, our official's telling us the whole truth kind of thing.
Exactly. Yeah. And the fact is that the symptoms don't necessarily show. And so are people, and especially in this country that has the shortest attention span of gnats, they're going to go on in a year from now or 2 years from now when symptoms start to be displayed around in Japan or in that area. Are people going to go back and say, oh, my God, that was radiation? Or will the right wing be so busy pushing nuclear power it's crazy.
Right. The latest is, radiation levels at the moment are low. The next 24 to 48 hours, they're saying, will be critical. There is one radiologist that was quoted that said, I'm now concerned we'll go into another nuclear winter with public opinion turning against nuclear power. If you look at nuclear power objectively, it's actually fewer health consequences than any energy production with fossil fuels, which is the argument some people are making. But I share your concerns. I never thought I'd say, hey, I agree with Joe Lieberman. But
it's just a question of being careful. And the other thing, as far as being a housewife and dealing with everything, that's why I bring babies to bars.
Yeah, I understand.
Only coping mechanism.
If I had one, I clearly would too.
Look at you.
There you go.
You have a baby.
It's the way to go.
In a bar.
Okay. All right. I feel your pain now. Every parent in America. Every housewife. Mm.
All right. By the way, I stand corrected.
Yes.
Hazel was in color for 3 of its 4 seasons.
Thank you, Chris.
Mm.
All right. Senator Joe Lieberman.
I think we've got to kind of quietly quickly put the brakes on until we could absorb what has happened in Japan as a result of the earthquake and the tsunami, and then see what more, if anything, we can demand of the new power plants that are coming online.
Japanese engineers, by the way, pumped seawater into the damaged reactor in a race to prevent a catastrophic meltdown yesterday. Rescuers scrambled to help millions. I mean, again, you know, part of the big problem, no food, water, heating, as Dr. Gupta was telling us, people don't realize it's freezing over there.
So the
United Nations nuclear watchdog said the crisis was unlikely to turn into another Chernobyl. We discussed why with Dr. Gupta. But, you know, right now they're saying at least 10,000 have been killed. We'll talk to Christine Romans next. Financial costs over there estimated up to $180 billion. Analysts say it could tip the world's third biggest economy back into recession. Yeah. So that's also a big deal. We'll talk to Christine Romans about that and much more as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Oh, the things we talk about in the breaks. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Chris LaVoie, voice deity, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. We are at Ustream.tv/Stephanie Miller.
Right. The chat seems to be down right now, but you can still see and hear us at Ustream.tv/Stephanie Miller.
Howdy do.
Yay.
All right.
And the chat seems to be down because Ustream is also carrying the feed of NHK live from Tokyo.
Okay.
And so they're getting an inundation of people viewing that. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, and we talked to Dr. Sanjay Gupta last hour, who is live in Japan. So many layers to this story. Obviously, our favorite, the smart one, CNN's Christine Romans from Your Money. Good morning, Christine.
Good morning. Wow, big down day for stocks. Have you guys seen this? There's almost 300 at one point here.
We just were saying that's dropped precipitously. What does that mean, do you think?
Well, you know, I'm telling you, they watch Japanese stocks really fall apart. A two-day decline in Japanese stocks. We haven't seen the kind of decline since the crash of 87. I mean, look, you had an earthquake and then a tsunami, and now this deepening nuclear crisis in the third largest economy in the world. It's just devastating, and investors are reacting, you know, appropriately. I mean, they're shedding stocks, and they're it's really ugly for the Japanese stock market. That's for sure.
Christine, I was just saying before the break that they're estimating the financial costs could be up to $180 billion. They're saying that it could put the world's third largest economy back into recession, which is pretty extraordinary. I mean, what will that mean for us?
Well, you know, already we're going to see memory chip prices are already going up because you've got, and you could see car and truck prices. I mean, I'm not calling for it, but you could see car and truck prices maybe start to move up because you have components, very high-tech components of some cars and trucks that are made there. I mean, you have the third largest economy in the world completely sidelined and paralyzed. It's going to have all kinds of ripple effects. That $180 billion number for them, I think that's an absolute guess. I don't think we can even know. It will be years before we know what the cost will be to rebuild. One thing, though, I will say, this is such an innovative culture, such an innovative and high-tech economy that you know that the manpower, the brain power, the planning power is there to really have a resurgence. And you tend to see economic activity with rebuilding, but we're so far away from that right now. I mean, this is still a surge in recovery.
And, you know, obviously, people are saying could have great implications on the global economic front. They say, you know, I was reading said if you shut down Japan, there could be a global recession.
Yeah, I mean, you've got an economic recovery around the world that has been tentative, I think. Mm-hmm. It's been driven by the emerging markets, and the big industrialized, you know, countries have had a slower recovery. And Japan has, I'll be honest with you, Japan has, since its big property bubble burst back in the 80s, it had, you know, the lost decade, it's had a very tough slog, so even its recovery in years past has been tentative, I would say. So, you know, it just comes at it, and I'll tell you something, Stephanie, that really cuts to my core on this, is this is a country that developed its prowess as a leader among industrialized economies in the fallout of a nuclear disaster after World War II. And now it is confronted with another potential nuclear, disaster as well. It just breaks my heart.
We were saying yesterday, Christine, I mean, just the horrible irony watching this, like the one country, exactly as you say, that has had nukes dropped on it that could literally be nuking itself, essentially. I mean, it really, the horror of them having already been through this. And
20% of the people there are elderly. It is a graying population. It's a rare demographic in the world where it has such a graying population. So when you look at the pictures of the soldiers carrying little old ladies through the rubble, and you think that such a great portion of this nation has relatives, they've lived through this once, and now here they are again with this uncertainty again. It's just catastrophic.
And Christine, the stories of sort of the spirit and the character of the Japanese people. We were telling a story yesterday, as you say, a little old lady, literally, like something fell on her ankle shattered. She's pinned in there, and when rescuers got to her, she said, "Isn't there somebody else that you should be helping?" That's more critically,
I was talking to a guy at the big international airport who said he was there with, I don't know, 10,000 people, maybe 30,000 people, and he had a piece of pineapple cake and a cup of water for 2 days. They rationed everything out, and everyone was peaceful. They were nice. They waited in line. They went to help somebody else who needed more help than they did. And he said he couldn't imagine this anyplace else in the world where it was orderly, and there was no desperation, maybe because people knew that they were in such better conditions there to be in the airport than what was happening in other parts of the country. But clearly it's a remarkable dynamic among the people, and we hope that is something that carries through.
Yeah. Christine, I got to ask you, because it's obviously in your wheelhouse, but your colleague Larry Kudlow stepped in it. I have to say, it's probably difficult. People in your position, you get asked on to talk about the financial impact, but this is what he said, for those of you that haven't heard.
I mean, the human toll here looks to be much worse than the economic toll, and we can be grateful for that. And the human toll is a tragedy. We know that. But these markets are, say, all these markets, right? Stocks, commodities, oil, gold. There is no major breakout or breakdown.
And as the traders told us,
to
oil is very much
positive.
A part of it.
Is it? What is your take on that? Because he said, "Oh, I misspoke," and you go, "Oh boy."
My take on that is the human toll is the human toll.
Yep.
It is a horrible tragedy. You cannot compare the two. And I will say something else. I will say that I've been asked on television to talk about what this means for the world, what it means for the global economy. And sometimes when I do that, I will get feedback from people who say it's too soon to be talking about that. It's too soon to be talking about that.
Right.
And I respect that. I respect that. But Japanese stocks down so much, and the world watching so much, and jobs and factories and I mean, it's going to be the economy that's going to be the powerhouse that's going to help drive a recovery and put people back to work. And so that is part of the story. I'm assuming he must have misspoke.
Yeah, let's hope so. Christine, it's interesting because we often talk with you about fear. On whether it's on the stock market or whatever. But, I mean, isn't that part of this? We just had Dr. Gupta on, and there's obviously a lot of fear about the nuclear part of it.
Yeah.
That he says it could be largely unfounded. What's your take on that and how that will affect...
Well, when you're talking about four facilities with some sort of damage or potential breach, fires and the like, where you've only got 50 people left in the facility, 800 people have been moved out of there, I mean, the fear is real right there. What is happening very close to that facility is very, very real. The long-term, farther-out fallout is what we just don't know, and that uncertainty with the fear is just... I'll tell you, we've been talking to nuclear physicists for the past couple of days, and they've been cautious. And then every turn of news events, they're surprised that things just keep turning badly. If there's two ways to go, it just the bad outcome is what happens.
Well, it's things like this. Already, France's nuclear safety authority said the accident could be classified as level 5 or 6 on the international scale, 1 to 7, putting it on par with Three Mile Island back in 1979. And Japan's nuclear safety agency has rated it the number 1 and 3 reactors as a 4. So, I mean, there is also that, like, are they telling us the truth kind of thing, or, are they minimizing it?
Well, and how close are they getting inside? Do they know what's happening inside of there? I mean, there have been a couple of different cases where you've got TEPCO, the company, that's been saying one thing, and then the government is more cautious in its outlook and, you know, trying to kind of understand what's happening in there, knowing that there's only 50 people inside that facility right now. So we can't, how do you get inside to look at something that's 2,200 degrees Fahrenheit? I mean, I don't know. It's just horrific, the whole thing. I know that
I saw one physicist on this, they actually used the word angry. It said we should be angry at the way Japan runs their nuclear program, you know, because, again, and I guess everybody has a different take on what the fear is. You know.
Until now, it's been peaceful and safe. And then I hear people talking about the number of people who've died on mining, you know, mining for coal or drilling for oil or all. I mean, our quest for energy in the world is a very intense and dangerous proposition in many cases. And I think what we're going to see is we're going to see this whole nuclear renaissance questioned. I mean, it's already happening. Angela Merkel says that 7 of their reactors that are built before 1980 will be reviewed over the next 3 months. They're not going to extend licenses for some others that are also 30 or 40 years old. I think you're going to see this whole idea of a nuclear renaissance. But, you know, big countries right. like China and India, they need energy. They need power, and they'll probably keep building plants.
Well, isn't one of the big issues they haven't figured out what to do with the waste? I mean, look in Nevada, you know, Yucca Mountain. Obviously, when it comes time for that, people are like, yeah, I don't really want it here.
Which is one of the reasons why we haven't had a new nuclear facility in this country for 30 years. And Three Mile Island is another reason. Although, you know, we had a couple of experts on today who were saying that in hindsight, Three Mile Island, there was no widespread release of radiation and it didn't hurt people. It was contained. In the end, it was contained. Mm-hmm. But look, that was enough to derail nuclear power in this country. You know, new licenses for some 20 or 30 years.
Yeah, interesting. Well, I mean, it is interesting when you have Joe Lieberman is on the one side of the debate saying we ought to take a moment, and then, you know, Mitch McConnell, of course, full steam ahead. You know, we shouldn't make nothing should have anything to do with what happened in Japan. But, I mean, it seems like everything has everything to do with everywhere these days. We're so interconnected.
We want mine safety. We want drilling safety. We don't want to drill in places that it's going to hurt the environment for oil. We want to decrease our dependence on foreign oil. We want to be very safe about our nuclear ambitions. How do you get enough energy? I mean, what is the solution? I mean, that's the impossible math here. We have an economy that gobbles up 25% of the world's energy resources, and we don't produce all of it, and we have to figure out how to get it to satisfy ourselves and compete with the rest of the world, too. It's impossible math.
Yeah. I do my part, Christine. I don't go anywhere. I have no social life of any kind, so I use barely any energy.
You're off the grid.
Yeah, exactly.
Off the grid.
Not by choice, but yes. Christine Roman of CNN's Your Money. Don Lemon told us that you love us, and we love you back.
I do. I love Don Lemon, too, actually.
Me, too. It's just a whole big thing. All right. Christine Romans, thanks so much for your time. I know you're so busy with all this going on. Thanks again.
Bye.
All right. There she goes. Christine Romans. It's a little CNN circle of love.
It is.
Dr. Sanjay Gupta, it's a circle of love.
I really loved what Dr. Gupta had to say this morning.
If you missed that, it'll be up on stephaniemiller.com after the show. All right. It's not important now. Just, you know, radiation, stuff like that. Anyway. But if you know if you care, blah blah blah. Yeah, you know, just saying. Should you pack your kids and whatever? If you want to listen, it's on stephaniemiller.com. Guessing we'll get a few more hits than usual. Don't mean to fearmonger. Just saying.
Something in your nuclear power plant can kill you.
One of my best friends said, should I get my kids in the car and go? I don't care about me. I care about my kids. Well, you'll have to go to stephaniemiller.com.
To find out.
18 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller. Don't make me lose my mind. Up in here, up in here. Y'all gon' make me go all out. Up in here, up in here. Y'all gon' make me act a fool. Up in here.
Yeah, it's the Stephanie Miller Show, all up in here.
Boy.
Oh, boy. Okay.
What?
Our Deputy Energy Secretary.
We also have dispatched subject matter experts, both reactor experts and an expert on emergency response.
Jim has been researching Three Mile Island.
There's a website called culturechange.org. Harvey Wasserman wrote a piece on there when he talked about that the lie that no one died at Three Mile Island. Technically, at Three Mile Island, no one died, but residents in three counties
surrounding it. 2,400 area residents have long since filed a class action lawsuit demanding compensation for the plague of death and disease visited upon their families. They've been denied access to the federal court system. Blah, blah, blah.
I grew up near there, as you know. Maybe it destroyed my ability to pronounce things correctly.
Yeah,
who knows? There could
you grew
be long-term
up in Pennsylvania?
Effects. I grew up near, in that area of the country. Three Mile Island was not far from, from upstate New York.
Hmm.
U.S. officials said
closer to Love Canal. Maybe that's what destroyed
That's what
your,
I'm thinking of.
Yes.
That's probably what destroyed my ability to remember movie references correctly.
And nuclear disasters.
What? Okay. What? U.S. officials said Monday the design of the Japanese reactors and the distance across the Pacific Ocean mean there is little probability of harmful levels of radiation reaching the U.S., including Hawaii or U.S. territories. Do you believe that, Jim?
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. Just asking. The incredible, just looking at these pictures, whole villages and towns have been wiped off the map. I mean, when have you seen this? It's have you seen the boats just getting flipped around like little?
Sure.
Just unbelievable. A Japanese citizen said, when the tsunami struck, I was trying to evacuate people. I looked back, and then it was like a computer graphic scene I've seen from the movie Armageddon. I thought it was a dream. It was really like the end of the world.
And when you see the street-level videos of the tsunami coming in, you understand why they call it a tidal wave, because it looks like the tide is coming
terrifying.
In faster and faster.
Can I just say one thing, and I don't mean this to be funny, but Japanese people really love to film stuff because there was that. Seriously?
Yes.
They loved.
I
was like, tidal wave. There's another guy taking a picture
of
a guy
run.
That's on a balcony, and I'm like, don't drop the camera.
Run!
But literally, there's a guy like, oh, now that is cool.
That's a great shot. Look at that.
Seriously, did you? I'm talking about the big tidal wave shot where you see all the boats getting washed in, and and then there's somebody obviously filming a guy that's, and then there's like three balconies of more guys with cameras, and you're like, doesn't seem.
There was one video of a guy standing somewhere. He was filming the wave coming in. Then he pans up and takes a picture of other people filming.
Yeah. So you think it's kind of a joke. I mean, literally every day when I hike with my dogs, Asian people just take pictures of them. But I'm just saying. Wow, that is really a commitment to your photography. Whew, let's go to Gene in Minneapolis. Oh, boy, I'm going to get on Newsbusters for that.
Time.
Gene in Minneapolis. Hi, Gene.
Hi, Stephanie. I think you are. I want to talk about the comment you made about everything being interrelated. In the 50s and 60s, our government was doing a lot of nuclear testing out in the Southwest. Mm-hmm. And in the early 80s, three of my friends and I developed thyroid disease and cancer. And there's only one known cause, and that's radiation exposure. And in 96, our government released a 15-year study saying that people born in the 50s and 60s would have higher rates of thyroid cancer.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Gene, it's all of this stuff that they first said, Agent Orange is fine. It's not going to, that's not going to have any effect. I mean, that's the problem is, as Jim said, things that happen over time that at the time they've assured us, oh, no, this is.
Follow the money. When anyone says it's all completely safe, it's all blown out of proportion. See where their investments are.
By the way, meanwhile, the Navy reported several U.S. ships involved in the relief effort had to be moved away from.
Ironically, the USS Ronald Reagan.
I know that was that is ironic.
Solar panels off the White House.
Well, you know why? Because they have better detectors on that ship. The Reagan was the only one because of their own nuclear power.
Right.
They have better detectors than the other ships had. So they had to move them away from the power plant after officials found the ships and 17 helicopter crew members had been exposed to low levels of radiation. And I was saying, one of the things I was shocked about, that just soap and water, I'm like, I can't get this drywall stuff off my deck. And I need something. I'm like, you can get radiation just with Dove? That's all they need?
Just take a shower. You'll be fine.
Really? That might be something I might not buy.
Unless you've been breathing in.
I watched that Meryl Streep movie. She had to bathe in lye or something. What movie was that with Cher?
Silkwood.
Yes.
She had to bathe in lye?
Yes. Well, they went into a decontamination chamber, and it was horrifying. And there was, I don't know.
I saw The Day After. None of that worked.
Really, really intense shower. Pardon me?
I saw The Day After. None of that worked.
I'm talking about Silkwood.
Okay.
All right. Bottom line is the amount of contamination they were exposed to was very, very low, said one of the command ship, USS Blue Ridge. It was easily taken care of by washing with soap and water. Once they had discarded their clothing, washed with soap and water, and were retested, there was no additional contamination detected. So, I'm like, wow. All right. The Nuclear Regulatory Commission chairman.
In particular, they have asked for additional types of equipment that will help provide water and other resources to ensure that the reactors continue to be cool.
Oh, by the way, for those of you keeping track, Julie from Seattle's husband did purchase the Geiger counter yesterday for $900. His, which she calls it her boy toy.
$900?
His boy toy of doom. Yes.
Hey, you want to be safe or not? It's going to cost you.
Yeah.
How much is it? Yeah, how much is it worth
it? What's it worth it?
How much you got?
Be a shame if something were to happen.
Happened to your country.
To your internal organs.
Yeah, your thyroid's looking kind of funny to me. Maybe you got to get a Geiger counter.
Now it's $1,200. Charlie Pierce from the Boston Globe next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm experimenting, man. I'm growing as an artist, okay?
That's not the...
Stephanie Miller.
...brand.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. Oh, it's some listener comedy. Julie, whose husband owns a Geiger counter in Seattle, writes, Dear Steph, as the markets crash, the reactors melt, the Middle East churns, and Congress remains infested with a strain of GOP that won't pass a sensible budget to keep the government going, an aide approaches the president. Aide, can I get you anything, sir? Obama, a carton of Marlboros and a bottle of brown liquor. Thank you. My husband added, and a hooker. Julie in Seattle. We don't know that for sure. The president's under a lot of stress. All right, and now professional comedy.
There's only here one man now that understands, and that's the author of Idiot America,
Pierce.
Pierce. Charlie Pierce, the funniest writer in the world, from the Boston Globe.
Why's everybody always laughing with me?
Move into the decontainment chamber where we can frisk you with the Geiger counter, Charlie.
Ooh,
Pierce.
Can I have one of those, like, Karen Silkwood steel wool things that they have?
The lie shower?
See, that's what I meant. They steel wool something. It wasn't just soap and water, am I right?
Oh, man alive. This is not a good day for comedy, you know?
No,
it's not
no.
exactly a target-rich environment out there.
No, as Haley Barbour's press secretary learned when he made a little... Did he quit today?
No, I thought he quit yesterday.
They quit yesterday.
Yes.
Gilbert Gottfried was fired today.
Yes, for
agent is on
it. Wait, hold it. He was fired as the Affleck duck?
Yes, he was.
Listen, this could be good news. This could be good news for Jim Ward.
Yes.
But yes, he made for insensitive tweets about Japan, which we won't repeat.
Yeah.
But not in the character of the Affleck duck.
No.
It would be hard to tweet as a duck.
No.
That would be tough.
Haley Barbour's press secretary, he sends out, as they do, those little emails full of quips and jokes and, in Friday's email, Dan Turner. He wrote, on this day in 1968, Otis Redding posthumously received a gold record for his single Sitting on the Dock of the Bay, not a big hit in Japan right now. So he has stepped down today.
My, that must have really knocked them, for a loop around the cross burning last weekend. My goodness. By the way, in connection with current events, do you know where Otis Redding died?
Where?
In Madison.
In Madison, Wisconsin.
Wow. Look at you, magically full circle. There was also some zingers about the genocide in Cambodia. So.
Oh, that's my go-to stuff.
Yeah.
When I do the 11
sure.
o'clock, the 11
sure.
o'clock show is totally different from the 8 o'clock show. The 11 o'clock show is all Killing Fields jokes. Really.
When you're shopping at Home Depot or Pull Pottery
yeah,
Barn.
If you can't make a mistake about like 10 million skulls, I mean, you're out. You should get out of show. You can't make that funny.
Hang on, I laughed over those jokes, Jim. Go ahead. They were good enough. Do them again.
No, I said you discovered this while you were shopping at Home Depot, or was it Pull Pottery Barn?
See, Jim Ward was nothing but net, and I stepped all over him. There you go.
Speaking of Home Depot, did you notice that apparently there was an election for czar in Michigan last fall, and we all missed it?
Oh, I just was talking about this. This headline, slashes corporate taxes by 86%, hikes taxes for working poor.
Well, yep. not only that, he has claimed the power to fire entire elected city governments and put his cronies in charge.
Yeah, Rick
now,
Snyder.
Now, I know I don't live in South Korea or North Korea because I have a better cable package, but, this can't be legal. Yes. I'm not familiar with the Michigan Constitution, but this can't be legal.
Well, I mean, this is what we were saying earlier, Charlie, while we're watching Wisconsin, which is awful enough, some Republican governors are doing even more awful things.
Well,
I mean,
we've had Jan Brewer,
Rick Scott, Tom Corbett doing similar things, obviously, as Walker, and now Rick Snyder in Michigan.
I think they're disappointed.
You've got the guy in Pennsylvania who's going to blow up his entire state. You've got Mr. Clean down in Florida who you can't give money to. He's the only politician I've ever seen you can't give any money to.
Yep.
He runs away. Here's $8 billion for your high speed rail. No, I don't want it. Get away. Unclean.
Mom, he's touching me with his stimulus.
This just in, they just appointed Ted Nugent king of Michigan.
Yeah, I mean, Governor Rick Snyder.
Another Marquette University dropout, by the way, like Scott Walker.
If people want to know the not-so-fun facts, in Michigan, Governor Rick Snyder has proposed ending his state's earned income tax credit, cutting a $600 per child tax credit, reducing credits for seniors, while also cutting funding for school districts by 8 to 10%. At the same time, as the Michigan League for Human Services found, the state's business tax will be reduced by nearly $2 billion, or 86%. Under Snyder's plan. I mean,
this guy has dedicated his entire life to making Michael Moore's head explode.
don't you think? I mean, we were talking to Jan Schakowsky earlier that I really think people's just basic sense of fairness has gotten so offended. If you look at every poll, I mean, there's the Supreme Court race in Wisconsin that might turn this whole thing around in no time before they even get to recalls.
I'm sure that's been heavily doctored by now.
What do you mean doctored?
Are you kidding? You think you can get an honest count in that state now? I'm not entirely sure of that. Sorry, Steph, but I'm with Jim Ward on this one. But, no, I mean, I just,
well, fortunately, we will all be irradiated by then, so that's the good news.
Yeah, did somebody on the show yesterday say that there was $50 million damage in California from the tsunami?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
How come I don't know that? How come I didn't know that until I heard the Stephanie Miller show say it?
Well, because that's what's very sad about journalism in America today.
Yeah.
People hear most facts on this show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just in California, of course, we can afford it because Schwarzenegger left us in such good shape.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get back to the chopper.
Yeah. The harbor in Crescent City, which is in Northern California, was pretty much decimated from it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the pictures there look a lot like Japan.
That's the place where they had the last tsunami to hit the United States, right?
Exactly, from the Alaska earthquake in the 60s.
Right.
Yeah, I won't be moving to Crescent City anytime now because it's obviously a tsunami magnet.
Well, there's a subduction zone up there, just up the coast. And
an abduction zone?
Subduction.
I thought people were leaving with aliens for,
Charlie, crazy Michelle Bachmann, where should we start?
Well, let's start in my home state, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We're the ones who shot at the Brits, damn it, not the
freeloaders
in New Hampshire.
Yeah, you've got a bugaboo about that.
Yeah, you tell me about it. Every April 19th, a bunch of fat hedge fund managers get dressed up like Minutemen and stand out in the common. We all laugh at them. You can at least give them the respect of putting a battle in the right place.
She also moved Plymouth Rock to New Hampshire. I'm not sure you've been told.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know about that one.
Yep.
Yes, they landed at Plymouth Rock in New Hampshire. What? Yes.
I think she pronounced it Plymouth.
New Hampshire only has 13 miles of coastline. There's not enough room for a rock there.
It's a very small rock. I mean where are you going?
Plymouth Pebble.
These are the people claiming to be the heirs to the founders, and they don't know where the Battle of Lexington and Concord was fought.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
now she's saying that the first thing she's going to do is show someone her birth certificate.
Yeah.
I don't want to see her birth certificate. I want to see her seventh grade report card.
Yeah. Well, what do you think of, former New Hampshire Senator Judd Gregg, obviously, warning that Palin could win because of the way they've structured it now? She could win the 2012 nomination, of course, allowing Obama to then crush her in the general election. What do you think?
I don't know. I mean, if Judd Gregg tells me the Republican, primary process is screwed, I'll take his word for it. Mm-hmm. I don't think she wants to work hard enough to be run for president, to be honest with you. I really don't. I think she's found a good gig right now.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, apparently she's going to get the hell out of Alaska as fast as she can, because she's going to move in with Bristol, and won't that be fun?
When
Joan and Melissa goes off the air, they've got a replacement.
Oh, boy.
I think she'd quit right in the middle of the inauguration.
I know.
Start her speech.
Is this going to be much longer?
Yeah, there's something I need to do.
It's cold here.
Ew. Judd Gregg wrote this op-ed. He said there's not an heir apparent in the Republican field, which I guess is clear, but he said with the proportionally representative primary system adopted by the Republican Party for 2012, Palin could pull enough delegates with second and third place votes to position herself to win the nomination at the convention, which, that hasn't been back since my dad's day, that they didn't know who was going to win until you're going into the convention, right?
Well, I'll... Judd Gregg is actually saying that there's going to be, I'm gobsmacked. Judd Gregg is saying there might be a brokered Republican convention.
Well, that's what he's saying. It's plausible that the most likely.
Won't that be fun?
He said it's plausible the most likely scenario will be this could be the first convention since 1952 in which no one really knows who's going to be the nominee going into the hall.
Oh, that'll be hilarious.
That'll be fun.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure it'll be the highly dignified country club Republicans running that convention.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
Dan Quayle has a shot.
Yeah. Hey, Dan Quayle was ahead of his time.
Well, I mean, this is the thing you and I have been talking about. Like, who's going to win this fight, Tea Party and Republican establishment? David Bender, my house husband, he was saying he thinks the Tea Party is, you know, going to be the way of the dodo by, in a couple of years. But I don't know.
No, I don't. I think they've got a longer shelf life than that. I mean, right now they're running the Congress. What does he think is going to happen? Does he think there's going to be another wave, you know, 2 years from now in the congressional elections, which minimizes their power? I guess it's possible. But right now nothing happens on that side of the aisle unless the freshman, you know, Raul Labrador and the, you know, crazy guy from Florida down there with the security clearance, you know, unless that bunch says it happens. So,
well, here's the latest headline: Virginia Tea Party activist frustrated with Cantor. It boiled over when he opposed the amendment that would have made deeper cuts even than the $61 billion. It triggered a blistering reaction from leaders of the Virginia Tea Party Patriot Federation. We're extremely disappointed in Eric Cantor, but not surprised. The will of the American people was pretty clear in November. Cut, cut, cut spending. Apparently, Eric Cantor's conversion to fiscal restraint was only temporary. So it begins already.
Well, that gives me something in common with the Virginia Tea Party Patriots, because I don't like Eric Cantor very much either.
And he took pain. I meet the press and say, I don't think it's nice to call anybody crazy. I don't. Someone said, are you going to call birthers crazy? Are you going to, you know, call them out? And he's like, I don't.
I think that would be rude. That would be like pointing out that I have a very large Adam's apple.
Exactly. Exactly. As much as he's tried not, I mean, they really are. They're tiptoeing around the Tea Party, aren't they?
Well, they have to at this point, yeah. because even if they can't beat them, they can cause them all kinds. Nobody wants a primary opponent because you got to raise money and spend money.
Yeah, well, I mean, if, when they're talking about primarying Orrin Hatch, I mean, we've really driven the right wing crazy train off the cliff.
I mean, they're going to primary Richard Lugar, who was, I think, elected first time by the Free Soil Party.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, the man's been in the Senate for 190 years, and they're going to find some county commissioner outside Indianapolis to run against him.
Yeah, yeah. No, it
is. And meanwhile, by the way, while all this is going on, nothing is happening on the real problems.
I know. No, I know. Well, at least it's fun to watch. Charlie Pierce of the Boston Globe, author of Idiot America, love
you.
See you next week. All right, see you next week. There you go.
Oh,
we'll be on vacation next week.
But he will be talking to Hal Sparks next week when Hal Sparks fills in for us.
Filling in for us,
yes.
45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now, 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Lady Kaka to you.
What?
50 minutes after the hour.
Or your Lady Kaka.
I like to do Kaka jokes. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number.
Have you heard from your husband?
No.
No?
Ivan. Oh, wait a minute. Yes, I have. Hang on.
Oh.
David Bender, my house husband. I forgot. He's been texting
me. Your beard.
I'm ignoring him already.
Yeah.
All right. This hour brought to you by... I'll have a GoToMeeting with him right now.
There you go.
GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use the promo code Stephanie. All right. Oh, next hour, Representative Jackie Speier coming up and George Takei to talk about what he's doing and what you can do to help in Japan. Oh, my.
Yes.
All right. All right. Herb in Massachusetts, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Herb.
Hi there. How are you today?
Good, sir. Go ahead.
Just for the record, there are two Concords. One's in Massachusetts, and one is directly north in New Hampshire.
Yes, but the ones where the first shots were fired.
So if she made a mistake, that's okay. At least she knows it exists, unlike your president.
My president.
Your
our president, sir.
57 states, okay?
Uh-huh.
If you recall that.
Yes, because he misspoke once
that.
And said 57 states.
57 states? 57. This is a Harvard and Columbia grad, 57
yeah.
states?
Sir, have you ever read a campaign schedule? Have you ever seen the amount of sleep they get on a campaign
Doesn't
schedule?
Matter.
Michelle Bachmann has not been on a campaign, and she has misspoken time after time after time.
And Herb, she has said this about Lexington and Concord twice. The president misspoke once.
Look, the president, listen to what the man says, okay? He doesn't have a clue what's going on.
He's an idiot. All right.
He's an idiot.
Michelle,
do you think
the founding fathers ended slavery?
Do I think that? No, I do
like
not Snoke. Think so.
All right,
okay, because that's what Michelle.
All right.
Or Bachmann.
Okay, because if you did, you, like Michelle Bachmann, would be.
You all right. are an idiot.
All right. Okay, all right. That was...
I would dare say Sarah Palin thinks that, too. But I can't be sure. Mm-hmm. I'm just throwing it out there.
Mm-hmm. He's doing a little dance, I can tell. He's doing a little dance in his living room. I got her!
Got Yay! That liberal stink!
Okay, let's go to Dennis in Buffalo. Hi, Dennis.
Hi, Steph. I've been watching the TV with this tragic effect in Japan, and I have heard no experts refer to the tremendous weight shift of ice from the melting of the ice caps and affecting these plates. The mid-zone of the planet. They got to have an effect, and that, to me, tells us right off the bat, since nuclear power has to be near water or a coast to keep the cooling structure going or near a river, we got to definitely start moving away from nuclear power.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. I hear you. No,
We should have started 30 years ago.
By the way,
I don't know if melting ice causes shifts in plates. Plate tectonics comes from inside the Earth, not from outside.
Being a self-involved Californian, after the quakes in Japan, Chile, and blah, 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 expert on the Today Show says California could be next. It's inevitable. Huh. Simon Winchester, you know this guy? He was on the Today Show.
Mm-hmm.
Expert on earthquakes. He made a disturbing connection between the epic earthquake and tsunami in Japan and recent devastating quakes in New Zealand and Chile. Mm-hmm. Says the three events are in the three corners of a square in the Pacific, some call the Ring of Fire.
Yep.
We talked about this. Not the radio show.
No.
They have nothing to do with this.
No, they don't. Mike Papantonio has...
No, he is not involved in any way.
Not at all.
The fourth corner is California and the U.S. Pacific Northwest. Mm-hmm. He said a massive event along the San Andreas Fault in California is inevitable. And we were saying that's where San Onofre is, the nuclear
That's where
plant.
We are.
Hey, because it has to be near the ocean, as he just said.
It's not on the San Andreas Fault, though. The San Andreas runs inland. But there is a fault that runs underneath.
Well, I was wondering, I'm like, whose idea was it to put it there? Was the real estate cheaper? It's much cheaper over right over the fault. But it'll be fine. Nothing will ever go wrong. Yeah,
it's on a gorgeous spot, too. That real estate has got to be worth bucks.
That's a nice view if it's your job to sit in the reactor. It's becoming abundantly clear that these major earthquakes tend to occur in clusters. He said a cluster seems to have happened in the last year in the Pacific Plate. He said even more concerning than the quake along the San Andreas Fault would be an earthquake along the Cascadia Fault, which is underwater along Northern California, Oregon, and Washington. A quake there could trigger a tsunami.
That's the subduction zone I was talking about.
Yeah. Yep. And El Diablo, is that the
that's
plant that's up?
San Luis Obispo.
Yeah.
They discovered a fault offshore there recently, which they didn't know about.
Yeah. All right. Let's dive into the right-wing world. Jim, we've all lost the betting pool. It was not Pat Robertson that first brought God into the... It was Glenn Beck. We'll get to that coming up.
I'm getting slow in my old age. Young whippersnappers running circles around me.
But yeah, but he still can leg press
still leg press him into outer space.
Well, let's go ahead and skip right to that one. Glenn Beck on the radio.
I'm not saying God is, causing earthquakes.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that either.
God, what God does is God's business. I have no idea. But I'll tell you this, whether you call it Gaia or whether you call it Jesus, there's a message being sent. Mm-hmm. And that is, hey, you know that stuff we're doing? Not really working out real well. Maybe we should stop doing some of it.
Eating sushi?
I'm just saying. Because the things we are doing really suck.
Oh, so it's God's way of saying you suck.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I'm guessing the things he doesn't really say, but I'm guessing electing a socialist president, and that's part of the Islamic Caliphate Muslim Brotherhood thing.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
It's part of why we suck.
Because only...
Because bad things only happen to bad people who have done
course,
bad things.
Yeah,
because
course,
only,
of course, we all
only
know that.
Christians like Glenn Beck believe in God.
Well, some would say he's not really a Christian.
Oh, well, there is that.
Okay. Back to Glenn Beck on the TV on the tragedy.
Early on Saturday morning, the radical left is already busy at work. Mm-hmm. Instead of trying to figure out how to help people.
What?
How to prioritize what's really going on. They're just making sure that this crisis just doesn't go to waste.
Mm-hmm. But he's not being very specific these days,
no.
Is he?
No.
Well, you know, George Takei is part of, the, I would say, the radical left, and he's coming up next hour to talk about all the that he's doing for the people of Japan and what you can do to help. But other than that, I haven't heard how somebody on the left is taking advantage of the crisis. Have you?
No.
I'm not sure. Rush says the media wants this to happen because I don't, well, because he's on drugs.
I actually heard a CNN reporter ask, hopefully, is there widespread looting going on? These people are looking for disaster. They want disaster upon disaster. They want the nuclear meltdown. They want the Japanese syndrome, if you will. They want this stuff. This is just the wanton spreading of fear.
Just talking about
when
Fox
in
News
fact,
now?
Most of these nuclear reactors in Japan are behaving as designed.
Oh. So he said there's nothing more to see here. Noted nuclear expert, Russian boss. Says
look
that
at all the reactors that haven't melted down.
He said there's no widespread disaster. Just whatever you're seeing, that's all green
screen. It's a lie.
Yeah, nothing's actually. It's fine. Ooh. Wow. Okay. That was a crazy car of right-wing world. All right.
We have a little more left next hour.
I'm nauseous. 58 minutes after the hour, back with Representative Jackie Speier, George Takei, and much more as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Boy, these headlines not good. Third explosion in nuclear plant. Fuel rods may have burned in previous fire. We are keeping track of the latest coming out of Japan. We had Dr. Sanjay Gupta on earlier live from Japan. That'll be up on StephanieMiller.com after the show. George Takei coming up to talk about what he is doing and what you can do to help the fine people in Japan. StephanieMiller.com, the website, ustream.tv/StephanieMiller is the where you can see us. Hello.
Hi there.
Howdy do. All right. Also, the StephanieMiller.com/sponsor. You can sponsor an hour of the Stephanie Miller Show. How about that? You got a birthday, a shout-out, a small business, whatever. Jeff in Salem confused somewhat about speaking of sponsors. Steph, I'm confused. Does Carbonite, that machine, allows you that makes soda or Carbonite beverage at home? No.
He says no.
No. That's SodaStream. SodaStream.com. No, Carbonite.com is entirely different.
Carbonite is a great, awesome service.
Yes. It is tarp for your computer.
Yep.
As I mentioned when I've had leaking on my computer recently.
What kind of tarp? Troubled asset?
No.
No? Okay.
Like plastic tarp.
Oh, okay. Tarpaulin.
Yes,
okay.
Exactly. All right. Lots to get to. One of our very personal favorites, Representative Jackie Speier from the great state of California. Good morning, Congresswoman.
Good morning, Stephanie.
I've always been such a fan of yours, and lately you just keep hitting them out of the park. You're talking about all the important stuff that's, your statement, on the pro-choice matters in Congress was so powerful, and I thank you for that.
Well, you know, it had to be said because the twisted falsehoods that were coming out of the other side of the aisle were just irresponsible. So
yeah.
I felt compelled.
Yeah. Well, speaking of putting a human face on things, what's going on in Japan, it's hard to even comment on, isn't it, in terms of the human toll?
It's heart-wrenching, and I think this is an opportunity for all of us as Americans to rise up and show our humanitarian spirit because we are generous people, and the toll that it's going to take on the Japanese people for probably decades is just, you can't begin to describe what it means, and they're already in a two-decade recession that has really crippled them. So it is just doubly hard.
Congresswoman, listen to our, this is our Nuclear Regulatory Commission chairman.
All our plants are designed to withstand significant natural phenomena like earthquakes, tornadoes, and tsunamis.
Obviously, they were in Japan, too, but not one of this magnitude. You know, clearly out here in California, that's something we're concerned about, correct?
You better believe it. And, you know, it's another classic example, like the algorithms that were developed for the financial meltdown, that it was never going to happen because they had the algorithms. It's the same thing that we're saying now. And to suggest that there's not going to be an earthquake that's greater than 7.0, and that's what all of the nuclear reactors in California are designed right. to tolerate. And we've just now witnessed that in Japan it was a
9.0. Yep. Yeah.
So, you bet we should be concerned, and you know, steps should be taken now to look at the structure and see how we can protect it against the 9.0 earthquake. That's really what we need to use the measurement.
Congresswoman, so much going on. I got to get your take on all of it because, you know, it's not just Wisconsin, as you know, spreading across the country and in Washington. I mean, just these unbelievably misplaced priorities, in my opinion, on the Republican side in terms of budgets. What is your take on all of it?
Where are the jobs? Show me the jobs. That is really what the mantra should be. And, you know, the Republicans have been in power now for 11 weeks in Congress. They've been the majority in the House. And what are we spending our time doing? I mean, we're spending our time talking about continuing resolutions and cutting the heart out of 12% of the federal budget. And cutting, I might add, programs like the Pacific Tsunami Warning Center, among others.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's where the focus is, and it is not about creating jobs. And I'm telling you that in my district and in districts across this country right now, that's what people want. They want to go to work.
Yeah. Well, and you've already got people like one of your colleagues, Senator Marco Rubio, already saying, well, if there is a shutdown, it's going to be the Democrats' fault.
The only thing that would shut down the government is the failure of the Democrats to pass a budget when they were in charge.
Wow. It's like Back to the Future. It's already your fault.
It's almost like the 8 years of the Bush administration didn't happen when all of the deficits were
right.
being, you know, grown, when all of the regulation wasn't taking place. You know, the financial inquiry that took place in which we just received the 600-page report says, you know, on top of everything else, this was avoidable. And it was avoidable because you had an administration that was asleep at the switch when it came to regulation.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely.
And everything else.
Yeah. Congresswoman, obviously one of the other things you've been speaking out against, speaking of, you know, they were going to focus on the jobs, and instead we're focusing on everything but on their side, these Peter King hearings, you say, you know, what's truly radical is profiling and demonizing entire communities of people based on their faith. Hearings driven by intolerance inflame anti-American sentiment. Our nation deserves better. You know, that's my take on it as well. I mean, and, you know, here we have your colleague, Keith Ellison, who just was profoundly moving in these hearings and, you know, now being mocked by the right wing, I guess.
So here's the problem. Homegrown terrorism is real, and we should be addressing
yes.
it.
Yeah.
There was only one person on that panel that had any expertise, and that was the sheriff from Los Angeles. All of the witnesses had, you know, very sad stories to tell about family members, but they didn't have expertise. And when you realize that of the foiled attacks since 9/11, there were 88 people that were engaged in those attempted attacks. 50 of them were naturalized citizens, and the majority of them were natural-born citizens. So I should say that 50 of them were U.S. citizens, and the majority of them were natural-born citizens. So we have a problem in this country in terms of homegrown terrorism, but we weren't addressing it in that hearing. And it was a biased, I think, unprofessional effort by the chairman.
Yeah. I want to talk to you about something else you're doing that's close to my heart. You know, I know I work with the Trevor Project, which is the 24-hour suicide hotline for gay kids. And you've talked a lot about bullying. I mean, I think what's clear is that kids get bullied if they're perceived as different in any way. And you're doing a briefing about highlighting a report detailing rampant bullying of children with special needs, which is just, you know, of course, another layer of awful.
And what's astonishing is that there's no focus on children with special needs, and yet they are highly likely, in fact, two to three times more likely to get bullied than children that we, quote, say are normal. And the stories are just heartbreaking. And we need to not only provide education to family members and to teachers, but also to the kids in school, because in 85% of the cases, these kids stand by and watch this kind of bullying going on. I mean, forcing a developmentally disabled kid to eat dog food, getting them drunk, and then having the school send them off as if they're having an epileptic attack.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Well, I know you're having the actress from Glee on who has Down syndrome.
Lauren Potter, right.
Yeah. Yeah, correct. Well, God bless you for shining a spotlight on, you know, a lot of these issues that are near and dear to so many of us. Congresswoman, it's always a pleasure. Thanks so much for your time.
My pleasure, Stephanie.
All right, there she goes, Representative Jackie. She's awesome.
She is awesome.
Oh, by the way, Jim, you're the lying sack of cute, your own the tiny dancer of deception, mm-hmm. Dana Perino. Mm.
She's so cute.
She Jim's crush. Oh, isn't she cute? Oh, because I got this accusation from right-wing websites that mm-hmm. I'm racist.
Ah.
Because, or orangist.
Right.
Because I make fun of a white man that chooses to be orange. And she says the White House is the one that's really racist.
Here's what he said about John Boehner.
He said, I've made a few jokes over the years about John's unusual coloring. I used to think that it was a tan, but now after seeing how he tears up, I've come to realize that's not a tan, that's rust.
Yeah, hearty har har. The one thing that's interesting to me with all the speechwriters that they have, they can't come up with any new material. They keep going back to the same well and making fun of John Boehner's skin color.
Which,
really,
by the way,
this White House of all White Houses?
Right.
Uh-huh. This White House of all White Houses, which doesn't have a white guy in it. Blink, blink, winky, wink.
That's actually pretty funny, it's Russ. Woo! Good one, Mr. President. This isn't funny. He was at the Gridiron Dinner, by the way. And he saluted Haley Barbour, saying he appreciated his support of First Lady Michelle Obama's anti-obesity campaign. He said, Haley, when Michelle said you should run, she didn't mean for president. Come on! My little fat joke about Haley Barbour.
Actually, he probably shouldn't run. She's bad for his knees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although I bet he could win a foot race with Chris Christie. But she could win that one.
Not with Sanjay Gupta, though. He does, he's like a triathlete or something
He also noted the last time he was at the Gridiron, he was a first-term senator. He said, back then I was a newcomer who couldn't get anything done in the Senate. Now I'm a president who can't get anything done in the Senate. Come on, he has some humility. All right. Hey, Jim, look, it's Science Stack. A 55-year-old Chinese man had surgery to give him an artificial anus.
Oh, a what?
What? How did he get Mitt Romney up there?
Oh, boy.
Mitt Romney being a phony and also kind of an asshat. The man lived from birth without an anus, Jim.
Wow.
Seriously.
So he's full of, you know.
Yeah. He had to squeeze it out manually through a thing.
Dude.
Well, just saying, it's a happy ending. He's got an artificial anus now.
Well, now it's a happy ending.
I'm not sure how happy the ending is. It might be kind of painful, but
for 50 some odd years, it wasn't a happy
that's
ending.
That's something that should have been taken of much earlier.
That was
seems.
A long way to go for a Mitt Romney joke. All right, 17 minutes after the hour.
Oh my God!
Right back.
Who let the poop out? Woof 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 woof. Poop poop.
Snoopy poopy poopy dog. That guy. Where's Alan Simpson when you need him? 17 minutes after the hour. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
What's all that noise?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Dressed in yellow, she says hello. Come sit next to me, you fine fellow. You run over there without a second to lose. And what comes next? Hey, bust the move.
The device to cool the fuel rods has been dysfunctioned, and at one point in time, the water level did start to fall, and the fuel rods were exposed above the water.
Yak. Yeah, I was saying one report that was horrifying was they were going to take people to the hospital. They're like, the hospital's gone.
Yeah.
That's bad.
Yeah.
That's not good. So now they had to go much farther distance. We will be talking to George Takei coming up at the bottom of the hour and what he is doing to help in Japan and what you can do as well. All right, State Representative Brett Halsey joins us now from Wisconsin to give us the latest there. Good morning, Brett.
Hey, Stephanie. We love you in Wisconsin.
Oh, I loves me some Wisconsin in just an unholy way. Brett, what is the latest there?
Well, we're celebrating Sunshine Week, Stephanie, where we open the light on government. And in the Senate, the Republican leader is celebrating that as well by not allowing the returning senators to vote in committees. He says he's still holding them in contempt and wants to take away their voting rights and disenfranchise 2.2 million Wisconsinites. So.
Wow. Seriously, just when you think they cannot get more petty about this whole thing, right?
They're trying to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory, Stephanie.
Well, you got an important Supreme Court race coming up. Tell us about that.
We do. David Prosser, former Republican, leader of the Assembly, is running for re-election. He's been part of the 4-3 conservative control of the state legislature. And Joanne Kloppenburg, a former, she's an assistant attorney general, is running, been an environmental champion, and she's gotten real popular in the last 3 weeks. So.
She will be on our show the week after next. Congressman, what about the recalls? I understand there's a lot of steam gathering to recall these eight Republicans.
There is. We had a great story break in one Senator Hopper's district. They showed up at an event at his house, and his wife came out and explained that he didn't live here anymore. He was living in Madison with his girlfriend.
And she'll apparently be signing the recall, I'm told.
And she signed the recall petition and had some interesting things to say. So
yes.
That's sort of the ultimate theme you can get in your recall.
So. I love that. Well, Congressman, please check back in with us, and thanks so much for fighting the good fight on behalf of all of us there
and
in Wisconsin.
Stephanie, I'm just a representative, so we're trying to keep it local. But thanks to you. And,
I gave you a promotion.
I'm not so sure, but
state rep.
Yeah. But I get to have dinner with my family most nights.
So. All right, Representative, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
All right, there we go. All right, Japanese nuclear plant designer,
they are coming to the correct conclusions, but it's doubtful whether they are correctly reporting these conclusions or just finding them too difficult to admit to.
By the way, if you had not heard the latest news, radiation leaking from that plant forced Japan to order 140,000 people to seal themselves indoors after an explosion.
Which is quite a trick when your house is gone.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or
yes.
Everything is gone.
Yes. Here's one of the evacuees.
When the tsunami came, I really thought I was going to die, but I was with the person I care for, and we both did what we could together. We had no power for 2 days, and we're really concerned, but we'll keep doing what we can.
This is one of the other evacuees. This is what we've been talking about, is people's concern about are they telling us the truth.
I have been told that the plant was 100% safe from big tsunamis and typhoons.
See, that's the problem, Jim. Like somebody said earlier, 99.9% is not good enough in terms of safety for a nuclear plant. I think, I heard Senator Sanders say that earlier on Bill Press's show. And yet Mitch McLiplis, full speed ahead with the.
Remains my view that we ought not to make a long-term decision about any American energy policy in the wake of an environmental catastrophe in another part of the world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What could that possibly have to do with
us? Sure. Because this is America. Where nothing bad ever happens.
Yes, where we do things better. We would never build anything near a fault line.
No.
All right. Let's go to Dan in Chicago. Hi, Dan. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hello, kids.
Hello.
It's the official storm chasing chauffeur of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hello.
My brother pointed me out to this one website called Where'sScottWalker.com. And what it is you type in an address, and once it finds the address, a roving protest follows the governor.
it's the new video game.
Yeah.
Roz in Atlanta, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hello. Well, I don't know about you guys, but if this plant's spewing no more radiation than it, or average X-ray, I'm never having another X-ray.
It
was that Ronald Reagan said the scariest word you'll ever hear is, "I'm from the government and I'm here to help you." So our government ship, the USS Ronald Reagan, is steaming to Japan to help them.
Yeah.
It's so ironic.
Yes, there is a lot of irony there. You know, by the way, I just had, you remember I had a broken foot?
Yes.
So I've had to have several x-rays, you know, checkups and stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing everybody always says, right? If it's not dangerous, why do they give you the lead thing and then they run screaming out of the room and slam the door? And like, you're like, well, it can't be that safe.
Well, yeah.
Well, because, you know,
they're exposed to
it many, many
constantly.
Times a day.
Yeah.
Because they're taking x-rays of everybody. You're just getting it once.
Jeff in New York, you're on the East. I'm saying anything in an iron apron for.
No, those things are heavy, too.
Yes. Jeff in New York. Hello, Jeff.
I just wanted to correct the right-wing caller who said about Barack Obama saying there were 57 states. What he actually said was that when he was running for president, that there were 57 state primaries and caucuses to be competed in.
Right.
That's morphed into 57 states.
That includes Puerto Rico and Guam.
Puerto Rico, Virgin Islands, Guam, District of Columbia, et cetera. And so he didn't misspeak.
So it was a selective quote.
Yes, I think, Jeff, the point is Michelle Bachmann. Dope. The president, despite whether you disagree with him, not a dope.
Well, there are 57 states, I heard him say it.
The president graduated from Harvard. Michelle Bachmann graduated from Oral Roberts University.
Amy in Iowa. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm Michelle Bachmann as well.
Yeah,
Amy.
Good morning. As a female academic, it really, I can't help but get just unbelievably insulted at people like Mitch McConnell and Michelle Bachmann and these people who, frankly, are, as you say, dumb as stumps and really have no idea what they're talking about. So I am using your show as an opportunity to challenge Ms. Bachmann to a debate on any topic she likes.
Oh, I'm sure she'll be right here for that. 29 minutes after the
cracker
hour.
Cracker recipes.
George Takei next on the Stephanie Miller Show. Oh, bye.
Stephanie Miller.
I can't do reefer comedy. I'm drunk. Two different animals.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Always a pleasure to talk to our good friend George Takei, but he's doing something really special this week in regards to Japan. Good morning, George.
Good morning. How are you, Stephanie?
Oh, good. We have missed you.
Well, I've missed you, too. It's been much too long.
Absolutely. Well, you know, we've obviously talked a lot about gay rights issues, but, you know, as an American of Japanese
ancestry.
Descent. You've been a goodwill ambassador between the U.S. and Japan. Many people may not know. You were appointed by President Clinton to the board of the Japan-United States Friendship Commission. So this has been, you know, your role for a long time. But talk to us about Japan now and what we can do to help.
Well, all you need to do is turn on the television set. The picture you see is of one horror cascading after another. Friday morning, I got up and saw the earth shaking in Japan, and I do have relatives and many friends there, so I immediately tried to contact them. And while I was doing that, then the tsunami came in, and that was really horrifying. You know, this huge roll of water cascading onto the grounds, tossing around ferry boats like toys. And then now there's this threat of a nuclear disaster, one after the other. And of all countries, Japan, that suffered the first two atomic bombs. So it's really one horror after another. And, you know, you can't help but respond not just as a Japanese American, but as a human being.
Well, you started tweeting Friday morning, and of course, you know, you tweeted right away, today we are all Japanese, and that's become, you know, very popular on the internet because, you know, it's exactly what we heard after 9/11. Remember, we heard
exactly.
People all over the world saying we were all Americans.
All New Yorkers.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when something horrific like that happens, you have to connect as human beings. You see babies being pulled out of the ruins, elderly people, and just, you know, people just wrought with anxiety for their loved ones that they can't find, and, you know, most likely have lost their lives. It's a horror story. It's almost like science fiction.
Yeah.
And you've got to respond. And I thought, you know, we live in a social network connected world, and I started appealing for aid to contributions to the Red Cross, because that's the largest organization most prepared and most equipped with the infrastructure to immediately get the aid to the targeted people that need that aid.
It's redcross.org, correct?
Just
go to
right.
the donation page. Yeah.
And if you text, it's 90999.
Okay.
Yep, and you can automatically send $10 by doing that.
Okay.
Exactly.
Yep.
Okay. George, you know, it's interesting you talk about, you know, how wired we are, and we've been talking about that all week, that also has made this disaster, I think, in some ways more real and more immediate than in the past, I think because of the early warning system with the tsunami and how wired Japan is. I mean, you're absolutely right. People keep making the comparison, but it really is like a computer game, like a movie, like you're going, oh, my God, this is real. This is happening in real time, and I think we've experienced the horror in a way we sort of haven't necessarily in previous disasters.
Well, you know, the interesting flip side of that is you use the metaphor computer game. And because it looks so much like one of these technologically prepared disasters, you know, on computer games, people can distance themselves from it, too. It's not real. It can't be happening, you know. And so that's why we've got to really emphasize and plead with people for their assistance here in this case. And I know that some people say that Japan is a first world country and they don't need help like Haiti does. And it's true. I mean, Haiti needs a lot of help, and as does anywhere else, Christchurch in New Zealand. But as a human being, when you see these people, you know, the survivors who can't find their loved ones and who have no homes and no food, no clean water, and it's bitterly cold. It's winter there in northern
sure, yeah.
Japan, and they don't have heat. You know, you've got to respond.
Yeah, yeah. I know, George, that I saw all your friends and family are accounted for.
They are. They are, thank God.
Yeah, wow. I mean, I can't imagine what that was like for you to get up and turn on the television. I mean, it's just, and now, of course, you know, we're like you say, this is coming in ripples, the earthquake and the tsunami, and now, you know, are your friends and family, what are they saying about the nuclear situation? Because it must be incredibly concerning for them.
It's a remarkable thing about the Japanese psyche, though. They're very concerned, they say, you know, and I would think it'd be more than very concerned, but the Japanese have dealt with natural horrors throughout their history, and certainly the older ones have experienced the war and the aftermath. It took a long time for them to get back on their feet after the devastation of the Second World War. So some of the people that I've talked to almost seem stoic, or to use a better word, very dignified about the situation. And I must say, I'm talking to people that are, you know, either in Tokyo or in the southern part of Japan. I have not talked to anybody in the northern part, so I don't know what the reaction is there. But they seem very dignified about the situation.
Yeah, well, I've told this story, you know, probably three times, but just was so struck by it. This, you know, old woman who literally something fell on her and shattered her ankle, and when rescuers got there, she said, "Isn't there someone else you should be helping first?"
Exactly.
I mean, that's the you know, the Japanese spirit.
It's I think it's something that people who have experienced difficulties and tragedies, they develop that. There's a word that I used to hear when I was in the internment camps. The word was gaman, which means to endure with fortitude and dignity. And I think it's that philosophy of gaman that the people there are clinging clinging to now.
Yeah, yeah. George, I got to check in with you because you would do so much good work for so many good causes, and obviously, you know, for the cause of gay rights, you've been so involved. And you have to feel like, you know, between Don't Ask, Don't Tell and DOMA and Prop 8, I mean, that we're moving in the right direction. Are you hopeful, or, you know, every day there's somebody on the right says something awful still that makes you think we're not going to move forward on gay rights? How
well,
are you
those
feeling?
Those people are there. But, you know, you don't make any progress without optimism and being positive. We are moving forward. And, you know, I think certainly Proposition 8 is going to be done away with very shortly. And DOMA is going to be challenged, I think, more from Massachusetts than from California. You know, initially people thought that Proposition 8 was going to go all the way to the Supreme Court. But status of the people defending Proposition 8 is now in question, and I think that they're going to be found not to have status.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to spend time with the Reiners this weekend, and it's because of people like them. I mean, here's straight people that are putting all of their time and money and energy and
exactly.
commitment into equal rights for everybody, and that's, you know, that's what I think to me the most hopeful thing, that this has become nonpartisan. You know, when you have people from the Bush family and Cheney family and McCain family,
well, they have,
saying they're for
gay marriage.
In their
own family, people who are LGBT.
Right.
I think the really most remarkable thing is that we have two of the best attorneys in America challenging Proposition 8, Ted Olson and David Boyce. And Ted Olson, as you know, is a Republican.
That's
and
right.
one of the people that is very familiar with the workings of the Supreme Court. He was the Solicitor General under George Bush,
yep.
wasn't he?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah. No, I've had an opportunity to talk to Ted, and I got to tell you, it struck me. I had a moment. You know, he lost his first wife in
9/11. Yeah.
And we were talking, and you know, I just sort of thanked him for his commitment, and I said, I know that you really believe in marriage. I've met, you know, his current wife is extraordinary. And, you know, he looked at me and he said, well, I don't know if you know. And it was just this moment, he said, about my first wife, and we just connected. You know, when you just have that human, like, your eyes connect, and I'm like, I know. And, you know, I said, I'm so sorry. And thank you so much. And you just think this really is not Republican or Democrat anymore. It's not. It really is just inevitable, I think.
He is an American who really believes in the fundamental basic ideals of this country. And he's a decent man.
Yep. Now, on the other side, we have Representative Louie Gohmert, Republican of Texas, criticizing the president, even choosing a gay social secretary at the White House.
Isn't that something?
Yes. He said it's patronizing. He's just trying to raise money. And he, as you know, he said the hate crimes bill that would lead to the legalization of Nazism, necrophilia, pedophilia, and bestiality, and Don't Ask, Don't Tell could lead to the end of existence.
Well, you know, politicians are very prone to hyperbole.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's why so many of them are so totally unbelievable. I mean, you know, they have no credibility at all. And that's when it's so refreshing to hear someone who's decent and who's rational and who talks just common sense. Equality. I mean, what is America all about?
That's
I mean, it's a simple word. There was a time when you didn't even have the vote. You couldn't own property because you were a woman.
That's right.
You know,
That's right.
There was a time when people owned other human beings as slaves.
Yeah.
You know, and so we have that history. And when you think about the progress we've made from the time of the great shining ideals of this country were articulated, you know, the founding of the country, we have come an extraordinary distance.
Yep.
And we're
George, you know that
fighting for basic fundamental equality.
Yep. You know, I was just trying to get you to say of Representative Gohmert, you know, the thing you say in your It Gets Better video, you know, don't be a...
Oh.
Come on. Come on.
A douchebag.
Yeah!
Did you say that?
Go, George!
He is a douchebag.
All right. Go to redcross.org and please donate in honor of our good friend George Takei and the fine Japanese people. Thank you so much, George.
Good talking to you.
All right.
Take care.
Aww.
Come on, you know I just want to put that in my box. Anytime
a
right winger says...
Bless Zulu. Warp factor 8. So that occurs for
anytime a right winger says anything, I'm going to have George Takei right there saying, don't be a douchebag.
Douchebag.
Thank
the
you.
The Klingons are douchebags, according to Ensign Sulu.
46
oh
minutes
God.
After the hour,
That's
right
awesome.
Back. On the right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
They degrade women and beavers.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
I hate funk.
Do it. Get it. Uh-huh. 51 minutes after the hour. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Tomorrow, Hump Days with Hal Sparks, Greg Palast, and Representative Elliot Engel join us. Oh, we also, Rebecca, tried to get someone from Queen.
Brian May.
Who happens to be an astrophysicist.
Yes.
As well as
an so,
excellent guitar.
But he didn't feel qualified, even though he's an astrophysicist. So I asked, can we get someone from Mini Queen?
A microphysicist.
Is that what a microphysicist is? Just a little tiny physicist?
Yes, exactly.
Uh-huh. Would they bring the little piano?
Sure.
The little shorter piano? All right. Okay. That's just silly. All right. I don't mean to be a size queen, but the Madison rally was bigger than the biggest Tea Party rally.
Ha ha.
100,000 people, as we know, last weekend. Over more than that, I understand. Bigger than the biggest Tea Party protest, which was
well, that's what 60, happens 000. When you're supported by the caliphate.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of the protest, this may spawn another one. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce President and CEO Tom Donahue, he was told there were protesters that were going to protest his speech. He said, oh, do you think they even know what a derivative is?
I am not one of your fans!
Asked about the massive protests against Governor Wanker, he said public service have overbloated compensation.
Ha!
He turned truculent when asked whether events in Wisconsin are weakening unions and the right of workers to collectively bargain. He went on to express his concerns that public sector pensions are out of control and public workers' compensation is overbloated. By the way, here's a little fun fact about him. He travels in a chauffeured Lincoln and a leased jet, and his salary is $3.7 million. The sixth highest paid lobbyist in the country.
Wow.
But that's not bloated. It's you, greedy
you
teachers.
You and your $40,000 a year.
And you need for number two pencils with sharpeners.
$40,000.
That you pay for yourself.
Most teachers make less than $40,000.
Here's bad news. Hang on a second. What? Where's my... Oh,
Stephanie
yes,
Miller.
That's it.
All right.
Oh, hang on. Now. Here we go. Meg Whitman will not challenge Dianne Feinstein in 2012. Why is that bad news? Because she tends to spend a lot of her cash on my radio show for some reason, trying to convince people to vote for her.
How'd that work out for you?
I was happy to take it.
How'd that work out for you, Meg?
She says she definitely won't challenge Dianne Feinstein in next year's California Senate race. Oh, she spent $144 million of it. Not all here, presumably, but other places. They estimate her personal wealth to be $1.3 billion. Come on, Meg. You can spend some more money on my show on your next disastrous campaign that you'll lose by 1,000 points to Dianne Feinstein. Come on.
I think she's being a scaredy cat.
Meow. All right. Terry in Vancouver has some thoughts on Mama on the Ustream. Hello, Terry.
Hello, Stephanie. How are you?
Good.
Well, there were two things. I used to be the official French kisser of cats of the Stephanie Miller Show gang.
Yes.
But that seemed to gross you guys out so much that
yes.
I would like to request a title change.
Yes.
To be the official granny Afghan crocheter of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, you're the one that sent me the Afghan to make fun of my age. Yes. Go ahead, Terry.
And honey, I know your 87-year-old Republican mother would be horrified that you do not cover your mouth when you yawn.
Oh, on the Ustream?
You are going to be on the Ustream here.
Yeah. Well, I pick my nose and my teeth, too, so I don't care.
I wasn't going to talk about
it. It's reality radio. Get used to it, people on the Ustream.
I'm getting too old for you, dear.
All right. Thank you, Terry. Yeah, well, listen, you try getting up
at stupid o'clock.
And going to bed at
insane o'clock.
Thank you.
And I had a helicopter flying over my house all last night. That was great.
Why did something Lindsay Lohan steal some other jewelry? What happened? All right.
Duh, winning.
Yeah, somebody was duh winning. All right. Oh my goodness, looky here. Palin was Grampy's affirmative action pick. Former campaign manager Sarah Palin added to VP shortlist because of gender.
Mm.
Because the McCain requested a woman be added.
I think we need a skirt and a chick.
We need a chick.
We need a broad, a dame.
We need those ticked off Hillary chicks. As the clock was running out, campaign manager Rick Davis says McCain asked to have at least one woman on the shortlist. His advisors went back to the long list and plucked out Palin's name. Like out of an unqualified hat.
And to look for it got us.
Yes. Thank you, Grampy. No, this is there's a great piece. Where is this? Oh, in Politico that is dead on the money. One conservative saying with her constant victimhood. isn't she? This isn't what they say liberals do. They're calling her Al Sharpton, Alaska edition. The difference is the people Al Sharpton fights for are victims.
Yes.
There have
yes.
been a lot of victims of racism in this country. Sarah Palin is a victim of nothing but her own ego and petulance and stupidity.
Yeah. Even Roger Ailes, you know, told her, hey, don't make that blood libel video. And she went ahead and became a victim.
Yes, she asked for advice and then did exactly the opposite. Yeah. He suggested she lie low and there's no need to inject herself into the story. And then what did she do? She made herself the story and the victim in the Tucson tragedy.
I think that was finally the straw that broke a lot of people's, you know, a lot of camel's backs. Was that blood libel video where she made herself the victim of the Arizona shooting.
Yes, and played a little game of blame the Jews in the midst of it as well. Politico is saying Sarah Palin has played the sexism card, accusing critics of chauvinism against a strong woman. She's played the class card, dismissing the Bush family as blue bloods, and complaining she's the target of snobbery by people who dislike her simply because she's not so hoity-toity. Yeah, that's it. Most famously, she played the victim card, as we talked about in the Gabrielle Giffords shooting. The backlash from some of the country's most influential conservative commentators and intellectuals say Palin's politics of grievance and group identity, according to these critics, is a betrayal of conservative principles. Matt Labash, a writer for the Weekly Standard, said because of her frequent appeals to victimhood and group grievance, she's becoming the Al Sharpton Alaska edition. The line of modern conservatism that would be traced back to Buckley, William F. Buckley.
William Buckley, Jr., my milkshake is, in fact, better than yours.
There's no... thank you. You're welcome, you streamers. There's no Reagan without Goldwater. He said no Goldwater without National Review and no National Review without Buckley. And the contrast between he and Palin is obvious. Asked if the GOP would remain the party of ideas if Palin captures the nomination, Will said the answer is emphatically no.
Emphatically, no.
Well, bad ideas. Be the party of bad ideas. Right. Dumb ideas.
Well, she's going to run out of cards soon if she keeps playing those cards.
Oh, this is...
She's not playing with a full deck.
Bill O'Reilly cited comments that Krauthammer had made about her, and Sarah Palin interrupted in a fake English accent, Jim. I'm sorry I'm not so hoity-toity, she said in an English accent.
God.
I bet you that was funny.
Oh, man, I would love to hear that.
I'm sorry I'm not so hoity-toity.
That's probably her version of it.
Okay.
Check out culturechange.org and Harvey Wasserman's article, Fremont Island Killed People.
And
would the nuclear industry lie? Yes.
Have a good day. See you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.